come together.
Thanks for listening to the KC Morning Show.
Are you continuing to watch the NFL draft after the first round? Still invested even though teams are picking teenagers you've never heard of from colleges you're pretty sure don't even exist? Then you may be stuck in the NFL draft spiral. But there is hope, because your life matters. The administrative happenings of a sports corporation have no effect on your life and can't hurt you. So if you know which team picked a punter in the third round but had to give up a slot receiver to get him, then it's time to step away. Talk to those people near you. They're called family, and they also live in your home. Break the chains of the NFL draft spiral. Go on now. Be free.
3 weeks ago, I took a Spirit Airlines flight. I know, I don't want to brag up top, but you're like, John, I was on a Spirit Airlines flight, and there was like a medical emergency. You know what? They come on, they're like, is there a doctor on board? And everybody was panicking, and I was just like, I go, there's no doctor on a Spirit Airlines flight. I go, you know where the doctors are? On Delta, okay? It was an emergency. People were panicking. They kept lowering the standards. Like, is there a nurse on board? I go, there's no medical professional on this flight. This ticket costs $40. We're all unemployed, okay? They just came back on a second later. Has anyone dropped out of nursing school? Has anyone seen Grey's Anatomy? Like, this girl was like, I was a nurse for Halloween. We're like, well, get in here and help us out.
Welcome, everyone.
It's National Pretzel Day.
Pretzel Day? Well, I like Pretzel Day.
Pretzel?
Pretzels. Sure you don't want a pretzel?
Here, try a pretzel.
Free pretzel?
A pretzel?
How's your pretzel?
Good.
If a pretzel is a quality pretzel, you don't need salt.
In honor of National Pretzel Day,
I'm just going to have my soft pretzel. It'll be super productive.
It's showtime.
Yo, what's the word, Kansas City? A yippee fry, yay, to the KC Morning Hoes. We got Tears for Fears in the background. I'm not going to turn that down. Let's get right to it. On the show today, your first ever poet laureate for the city of Kansas City, Melissa Ferrer Seville, her latest collection of poetry. It is called Birthing Pains. She is up next. Rate, review, subscribe. Do that thing you do. My name's Hartzell. It is a good day to be a Kansas City. We will see you in the morning. Bye.
Going straight to one place, right to Kansas City.
The KC Morning Show.
For the first time on your KC Morning Show, the first, and let me not step on that, the first ever poet laureate in the history of Kansas City. That is Melissa Ferreira Seville. She's on your KC Morning Show. Her latest is called Birthing Pains. You can check out this incredible collection at Turnsoul Bookstore. My friend, I'm so proud of you. You got so much to tell us about. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Happy to be on the show. I love it. I love you. I love Kansas City. Can I just go on a list of things I love? We'd be here for a long time, so no, that's okay.
Listen, Kansas City loves you. In fact, loves you so much that we decided to make a little history with you, Melissa.
Yes.
So tell us how all this got started. We have a poet laureate in Kansas City, and that's you.
Yeah, the poet laureate process was a self-nomination process, and I actually was not going to nominate myself, mainly because there are so many amazing poets in this city who have been here longer, who have been doing this longer than I have. How do I want to say, like, more experienced, more renowned poets. So I wasn't going to apply. And then I think it was about around the seventh person who sent me the application and was like, you need to apply. But I finally decided to apply. And so I applied for the poet laureate position, and I really didn't think I was going to get it. And then one day I was at a reading, not even in Kansas City, I was in Virginia, and I couldn't answer the phone because I was listening to some friends speak on the mic. I texted them and I was like, hey, who is this? And it was someone from the mayor's office to let me know they were offering me the position. And I was so elated, but also trying to be very present in Virginia, which is like really my life is like trying to be in two places at one time at all times. Yeah. And that's how I found out. And it was announced February 1st, which is, you know, about Black History Month. So it made it kind of like nominal in that way, too, you know, being the first poet laureate, but not only being the first poet laureate, but being like a femme Black queer poet laureate. Yeah, I don't know.
That's pretty good right there. What you mean you don't know what else? You're doing pretty damn good, my friend. So what does the role and responsibility look like for the first ever poet laureate of Kansas City?
Yeah, so I think one of the things about being first is you're kind of also the like test run, better than test run, the pace setter, right? Ooh. So you're the person who's creating the precedent for what being a poet laureate looks like for our city. There are city poet laureates, there are state laureates, and there's a country laureate, and everyone does it differently. Like official city marker is an ambassador for poetry in the arts in Kansas City, which is to me like a very like big statement. But for me, you know, I have an organizer background and I've been doing the poetry thing for 20 years. And I started the poetry thing because I wanted to provide solidarity for people. I wanted to give voice to the voiceless, you know they're not alone, create a sense of community through like reflecting people's experiences back to them, all of these things like that. And so, like, for me, what being a poet laureate looks like is, one, I run this arts and organizing event series called The Nation in Exile. We put on events in partnership with local social justice and community building organizations to raise awareness about the organization or the issue and to raise funds and to also base build for those organizations. Base building is, like, getting people to get involved. And our next one is in August. I was doing that before I put the poet laureate thing. But I'm using this position to kind of bolster that event series so that it can continue on for as long as we need it to help build out the ecosystem of organizing and community building in Kansas City through the arts. And then the next thing I'm doing, or the second major thing I'm doing, is this writer's workshop series called Sakara Writer's Workshop. And Sakara stands for Self-Expression, Community Care, Accountability, Responsibility, and Agency. And it's a workshop series that teaches poetry as a tool in order to engage with these principles, right? And not only to engage, but to magnify and like instill these principles in oneself. And that's a curriculum that I'm writing for schools and for at-risk adult communities. And those are my two main focus projects.
You mentioned some of the through lines within some of your work just a second ago. What does your writing process look like? Because it seems like you've got so much you want to say, but sometimes maybe you just got one thing you want to say. Regardless, does your approach change or is it consistent? What's that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is where I tell myself, right? Because like... Because a lot of people write consistently, which is beautiful. Write consistently. That's what calls to you. But that's really, really not how I do things because I do so many things. You know what I mean? I'm not just a poet. For me, poetry has always been a tool, not the goal. For me, my process very much looks like being moved by the spirit, not going to lie. It's a very like inspired process. I would say even like devotional and attention-oriented process. So like usually I write when my heart demands that I do so, which means I'm actually not writing as often as people might think. Talk to any poet who talks about anything real, which should be every poet, to be honest. One of their desires is to see what they write come off of the page and into the streets, right? June Jordan, who says like poetry is a political act because it involves telling the truth. And so, yeah, it's always our desire as a poet to see like the words that we write be activating in people so that people can care more about the place and the world that they live in. And so for me, though, yes, I'm a poet, but I'm also an organizer. I'm also a community member. I'm also an emotional support friend. You know what I mean? And so like my process isn't very consistent as far as the writing goes, but like the living is a part of the process as well.
Oh my God. You have been dropping so many bars this interview. Oh my goodness. It's like you are a poet laureate or something. My goodness. Well, you know what? You didn't tease these folks long enough, Melissa. Can you just give us a little bit of something? Doesn't even matter where it's from.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I actually do have a poem from Birthing Pains, but can we read that one later? I
would love that.
And I'm going to do Broke Girl Purples right now because I love this poem. It's one of my favorite poems I've written, and it's a poem for my friends. So, broke girl purples. Broke girl purples. Purples because it is blue and red put together. And blue is sad, but blue is also expansive and pinpricked. And I look up, and it is freeing then looking up. And at times, looking across the ocean at sunrise. Red because sometimes I be mad and sometimes I be in love, so in love that I've lost fear of annihilation. And now I think about dying in the best ways, like laughing with my friends without care of who I am today. Laughing because I have the time to, and I'm not stretch or reach or race or grasp, not heavy, have not lost my patience or capacity for care. Due to capitalism, and there is no chain from an imaginary glass ceiling yanking me away from here in this coffee shop with my friends grinding broke girl purples because today I sit in my sovereignty. I cultivate the land of my life, and I am finding it to be fertile ground. And despite lack of coin to keep me afloat, I walk on water. Despite absence of a nest egg, I have a home. Purple, because sometimes I get bruised, but not abused, even though my skin is brown. Purple, because slavery is a nightmare I am waking up from, and supremacy can't enter the gates of our relation. So this is our kingdom, the kingdom of those I love. Broke girl, because of how often I let my heart break from all its bursting. Broke girl, because these cracks, these holes, and these chunks taken out of me, been letting in the light.
Melissa, you getting snaps. Snaps! Beautiful. That's on your KC Morning Show right there. Can you give us the ethos of that one?
Yeah, for sure. So one day, the title came to me first, and I was like, I'm going to write the Broke Girl Blues. And I was like, that is so cliche. No. So I was like, but what if it was the broke girl purples? Just to start there. That's how this whole poem started. And then I really felt into that. Like, what does broke girl purples look like? What does broke girl purples mean? Because let's be honest, I chose to be a poet. And being a poet, you don't say, I'm going to be a poet and get rich, right? Like, that's not what's going to happen. But it's more like, I'm going to be a poet and I'm going to change the world, right? And so in the midst of, being actually, financially broke, I found myself in this space of, but I'm so rich. Mm. I'm so wealthy. I have such good, supportive community. People who rally around me. When I first came to Kansas City, I was homeless. I was living at Restart Homeless Shelter on 9th Street, right? And I was like a broken person, quite literally, and on the inside, right? I wrote this poem about 2 years ago. 4 years living into Kansas City, looking up and looking around me. I wrote this in a coffee shop, literally, while hanging out with my friends. And I was just living into a moment of gratitude, right? Of I have friends who will make sure I never go hungry. I had just moved into a place with a friend who owns his house so that I will never be homeless. You know what I mean? Things like this. Even as I let go of social mores, normalcies in order to find what's right for me and my mental health and my dreams for my community. And so I think the real ethos of that poem is literally, what is the true asking everyone? What is the true wealth? What is, you've got capitalism, but what is life itself, you know?
You mentioned that human element, right? And you are so precise and intentional about what you're talking about, you know, here locally, how you're feeling personally, but also the through line and everything you're talking about is a global perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Tell these folks about this trip to Senegal.
Yes. So I feel very honored to be part of the first cohort of the KC Cultural Outbound Program hosted by Global Ties KC, which is an organization that's been in Kansas City for 70 years. And for 70 years, they have brought people from all over the world into Kansas City, which has been really amazing. And for the first time in that 70 years, they're like, what does it look like to send people from Kansas City to somewhere in the world? And so myself, artist, visual artist John Rowe, and Kansas City favorite musician Calvin Arsenia, going to Senegal actually next month, specifically going to Senegal for a Biennale. It's an arts festival that happens every 2 years in Dakar called Dakart. It's an open invitation to members of the African diaspora to come and engage with African art and artists. It promises to be a transformational time, both for us individually, but also for the lines of communication that we get to open up in the realm of the arts and also organizing. The theme is In the Wake, after Christina Sharpe's book In the Wake, talking about what is the wake of the violences that have occurred in history look like? And how do we find home and healing in the wake of all of this madness, you know? We're just so thrilled to go. The one thing, which is always the big thing, right? The one thing is this organization that is sending us, we are actually raising money for the funds for us to go, but then also seed funding for this organization to continue this program into perpetuity, to send other artists, organizers, teachers, culture workers. And so if you would like to donate to that cause, you could go to globaltieskc.org/outbound. Yeah, we would really appreciate that donation. Make sure that we're okay in Senegal. We still have to pay for housing and all of these things like this. We've already got our tickets, so we're going. But we'd like to be secure when we're there. And also to support the future of Kansas City being represented all over the world.
Well, I need y'all to make this money because I want a souvenir. So yes. Thank you. Before I let you go, how do you describe the African diaspora to white folks?
Oh, the African. You see what happened was.
you know, you got folks in the car right now who are listening who love you, but you just said diaspora and they have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah. So this idea of diasporic identity, it's in the word, right? If you think of a spore and the way spores spread, we have been spread in that way. Forcefully, might I add, forcefully against our will, but truthfully, we have been spread in a way. And so specifically, African diaspora are those who are of African descent that live all over the world. But the reality, and this is like what A Nation in Exile is about too, the event series that I run, the reality is we all are of a diasporic identity, right? Whether that is Europeans coming to Americas, right? Colonizing Americas, but also like exiling themselves from their own identity in the process of that, or indigenous people of Turtle Island being exiled from their cultural identities, right? So in this way, through like occupation and things like this, this idea of like, in some way, we are all participating in a diasporic identity. And when we talk about the African diaspora, it's those who specifically come from Africa, have been spread out, and are being called home in some way.
My friend, I have so kept you over time, and I apologize because as everyone's heard in this interview, you got things to do, you got places to go. But before you do get out of here, is there any way that we can get one more? Can we hear just one more piece of whatever you got?
Yes. So this is actually the last poem in my, what I call my little apocalyptic chapbook, Birthing Pains, that you can find at Turn Soul Editions. This is one of those poems that came directly from the heart, and it's called A Prayer for My Friends, which are those of you who are listening right now. So this is a poem for you. May you find joy, peace, and serenity in these moments. In your heart, where it may seem so dark, let the light in and go translucent, with clarity brimming in your inner forecast. May you find a way to let trauma pass through and leave you breathless with the dream of returning to where your furnace is. Find the fiery passion within and acknowledge your freedom. May you hear God in these moments. Hear love seeping through the windows you are opening. May you be blanketed in breath, replenished with water, warmed by the fire, and dissolved into the earth. May your roots know no separation or distinction from the soil and the sun. May your leaves hear the messages teeming in the branches, blowing on the wind. May you use this time to begin again. Let it in, child, your laughter. It is barking in the basement where you hid it long ago. May it resound through your frame as you remember your name, little star. Oh, night sky, remember why you came to this plane and your longing to return home. May you find this home in you and hear how conflict does not visit. Here is peace. Here is serenity. Here is heaven. May you sing a joyous refrain of indiscriminate light, unconditional love, abounding glory in the formlessness of what is. May you live, my friends. May you live.
She is the first ever poet laureate for the city of Kansas City. Melissa Ferreira-Seville, her latest is called Birthing Pains. You can find that at Turnsoul. And from what I have been told, other places, maybe soon, because she's so good at this.
Yeah, you can definitely find it at the library, too.
You can also see Melissa on the 27th over at Charlotte Street. There's a writer's block, and we got to send our friends to Senegal, y'all. And I will make sure that we post all those links in the show notes so we can get folks to send some donations your way. I've also got my copy of Birthing Pains right in front of me. In fact, here, let me... You hear that? Those are pages. And I need those pages to be signed by you. So will you autograph this copy, superstar?
Yes, of course I will. Of course.
Melissa, plug the handles. Where can folks go to find you?
For sure, for sure. So you can just follow me on Instagram at Melissa Ferrer. Ferrer is spelled F-E-R-R-E-R and A-N-D. So M-E-L-I-S-S-A-F-E-R-R-E-R-A-N-D. You can find me on Instagram there. You can find me on X, Melissa F. Poet, or you can go to my website, melissaferran.com. And then you can also follow A Nation in Exile at A Nation in Exile on Instagram.
And how long is your term for, Melissa?
2 years. We're going to make some changes, okay? We're going to be running.
That's 2 years of truth bombs, everybody. Get ready. Yeah. Get ready. Melissa, I love you. I'm so proud of you. Can you come back
on
the show?
Love you so much. Yeah, of course.
Blessings manifest with every lesson learned. If your knowledge were your wealth, then it would be well earned. If we were made in His image, then call us by our names. Most intellects do not believe in God, but they fear us just the same. Oh, oh no, no, no. Do not believe in God, but they fear us just.
to the God job.
The KC Morning Show.